This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Steve Van Valkenburg on the line of Christian Aid Mission. He kind of oversees their Middle East ministry with the partners there. And I understand that partners in northern Iraq, kind of the Kurdistan area, have been telling you about this quote-unquote spiritual awakening among the Muslims there. And it's among both the Kurds and the refugees. Could you fill me in a little?
Yeah, I think that that what you find is that whenever the Muslims around the world are actually coming to realize what their faith truly believes, when they look at ISIS and they look at that these are people actually fulfilling what the Quran says they should be doing, then they're awakened to begin to question what is it really that I'm involved with. And so there are many thousands of Kurds, displaced people, refugees, who are Muslim background people who are very eager to find out what the truth of the gospel is according to the Bible.
And some of these stories that you have on your website, are they just amazed me, because these people are, you know, they're reading the word of God and they're resistant. They're like, I can't become a Christian because I'm a Muslim. You know, that's everyone's in my family's a Muslim. And yet your partners are just saying, read the word of God, and they're letting the Bible speak for itself, basically. Can you just give a brief, like, how is that impacting people?
What was interesting was that just recently, last couple of weeks, we had three separate ministry leaders all working with Muslims in various parts of the world, and they all said the same thing, that the main thing they do is they allow the Muslims access to God's word, and they're eager to read it, and not one refuses it, not one refuses to hear the gospel, and they're all very open, and they may not all trust Christ, believe in Christ, but they're very open to receiving gospels and receiving New Testaments, and they begin to read, and they have a lot of questions, and they're very, very eager and very open. And what they find is that probably the Bibles are their most effective evangelists, is that they can allow them to read these, and they begin to read, and from their background, of course, they come from a different paradigm than we would come from, but when they read it, it opens up all kinds of light, all kinds of truth, and to them, this is all just the greatest news in the world, as they see what the Bible is saying when they look at who Jesus Christ is. And it's something they see as very, very, very refreshing, and they're very, very eager to learn more about what God's word says. So the ministries there, what they're saying is that the main thing they can do often is just to allow Muslims to have God's word and then trust God's spirit to work through that. And even though they would say that they are Muslim and they cannot do these things, still they begin to read. And when they read God's word, God's spirit speaks to them and brings about regeneration.
And this is all amazing news, and we rejoice as the body of Christ. But I have concerns too. Doesn't this revival, so to say, or awakening among the Muslims make your partners a bigger target for ISIS?
I think that ISIS has other things they're worried about. I think I think the ministry leaders that we assist, I think that they're careful in what they're doing, but they're going to be very careful. And I think that the average displaced person, like in Kurdistan, the average Kurd, they're very interested in just finding out what the truth is of God's word. And I think it goes back to some of the parables that Christ taught about leaven is put in a woman's sack of flour, and pretty soon it permeates the whole sack. And I think that's what you see, is that God's word goes out and it keeps on influencing, and God's spirit uses that. And so it's not that the Christian ministries are necessarily making a big splash, I mean, they're working with individual people, and because of that, they're not the ones out front that easily can be identified as the ones that need to be knocked off by ISIS. But they're trying to work wisely and to be discreet and making sure that they are protecting themselves. I think too that one thing that happens is that they are giving out aid, and they're giving out food and blankets and diapers for babies and things like that, and they give out aid, and then there's a connection, and then the people want to relate to them because they are the ones connecting to them, providing them for physical needs. And so from there, it's very easy to have that connection and then to be able to present to them God's word and let God's word do its work, and then let them come back to them later on with their questions about what the Bible is saying about Jesus Christ. And then from then, believing in Christ and wanting to get together and begin to be discipled. And so I think that it's not so much that the Christian ministries are putting up big billboards and flashy things and trying to draw attention to themselves, but God's word is working, God's spirit is working among the displaced people and the Kurds, and so that he's doing his work. God's spirit's doing his work within hearts and regenerating lives, and their job is just to be there to show love for the displaced people, and then to have God's word available for them, and then trust God to work. So they're dependent upon God to be doing his work in their lives, and their goal is just to be instruments that will be the middleman, basically, to present to the displaced people and the Kurds, the needy people there, what they need.
And for those of our listeners who don't know, can you explain how Christian Aid comes alongside these believers on the ground to help supply those tangible things you mentioned, the food and the diapers and such?
Christian Aid Mission helps hundreds of indigenous mission boards across the world, and including many strategic mission boards in the Middle East. We evaluate the ministries, and when we do references and check them out, and we see that they're fruitful ministries, and they have more help to be more fruitful, then we want to begin to help them win their ministries. And so we put the word out, and we let people know about the needs, and as people send funds, we send those funds to the ministries. And so that enables them to be able to have more Bibles to give out, more blankets, more heaters, more food to give out. And so they then can expand their ministries because they have extra help that they normally would not have.
What do you need our listeners to do after they hear this story?
I think that the main thing would be that there be continued fruitfulness of ministry workers, and that those who believe in Christ will have hearts that are good soil, and they would grow to maturity, and that there would be a strong church among those who have a Muslim background, and this would be a church that would be a very mature, Christ-centered, Bible-centered church, and that it would be one that would have the life of Christ within it, and also that the ministries there would have the resources to be able to continually give out help and to assist the people that have these great needs. And so that means giving funds for blankets, heaters, food, diapers for babies, and things like that. But also, they'd have God's word to give out. And so we're continually sending funds to these ministries, enable them to get these things, buy them locally, and to be able to give them out to the suffering people around them and those who are eager to hear the gospel.
All right. That wraps up all my questions for now. Is there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think a different topic that this is not about what we're talking about right now, but I think a different topic that the Christians need to deal with is we need a robust New Covenant theology, in that you continually have people saying, well, you look at the Bible and it's just as cruel as ISIS. And if you look at God's command to Israel, the Canaanites, that's just as cruel as what you see ISIS, and really there's no difference between the two. Well, there is something about a new covenant we have, you know, that I think we need a very strong, like I said, robust, strong new covenant perspective that what is the purpose for God's commands in terms of killing all the Canaanites? But we're in a brand new covenant, and that there was a purpose there, and I think that that's something I think within our the free world that Christians need to emphasize, that we're not living in that Old Testament time of going in and killing, and you know, when I read the story of David and Goliath, my mind does not think about, yeah, I want to go out and have God's power to kill all my enemies around me. You know, I mean, Christ talked about loving your neighbor, you know, and the whole paradigm is so different. But others will take that and they say, well, there's no difference between ISIS and what you find in the Bible. But you know, in my mind, I never think of reading about Saul killing, you know, David killing, and I never think in terms of, well, that's my goal, is to go out and kill in the same way. I don't see that a bit, and Christians don't see that. And I think something that we need to, the Christians need to always be putting that forward, that we are a new covenant people.
And I think your partners are showing it perfectly. You know, they are being the hands and feet of Christ and demonstrating what he told us to do, and that is to love your enemies and, you know, reach out and give a glass of cold water. And I think they're putting the feet on the words. And so that's why people are open to receiving, you know, maybe that's not the exact reason why, but they're receiving God's word because they've seen his love in action.
Exactly. Yeah, the ministries, their first priority needs to be to show love for the suffering people, and to have a heart of compassion, and that's something that wakens up the people, saying, here's somebody actually showing me love. And many times we hear of Muslims just saying, why are not the Muslims here helping us? Why is the Christians are the ones that are continually helping and reaching out to us? And that's, you know, whether they believe in Christ or not, still, they know that the believers in Christ are the ones who actually were showing them love, caring for them. And it's not just, it's nothing like they're trying to buy them to believe in Christ. They're showing love, and then there's a response of the people to want to connect and to reach out to those who are showing love to them, and they appreciate that, and there's a connection there. And so there's no way that I see that ministries are trying to buy converts, anything like that. It's that they show love. In fact, one ministry leader that is quoted in this story talks about how the first time they meet with them, they don't even talk about being Christians. They just show love for them. They help them. Then they come back later on, and the people immediately want to connect with them and talk to them, and they want to find out who they are, more about who they are, and they know they're Christians. But, you know, then they want New Testaments, and they want to hear the gospel, and they're not pushing anything. They're just showing love initially to the people, and then the people respond by being so appreciative of those who care for them.
Amen. And I wish our time was longer, but we've got to wrap up. I'll remind our listeners, I've been speaking with Steve Van Valkenburg of Christian Aid Mission about the latest update from Iraq, northern Iraq, and how God's Spirit is moving through the actions of his people. Steve, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.